going to look at the book of Philippians tonight. And beginning at chapter 1, I'm going to speak of a man of desire. Desire. And this will fit the women as well as the men. In Romans chapter 10, we have these words, brethren, my heart's desire, and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was one of the burning desires that this man had in his heart. And there are many of them today. They have desires to please God. And we saw that was true of all of them. So a man's desire tells us my heart's desire. And it was backed up by prayer to God. And then, of course, with the nation of Israel, with him being a Jew, that they might be saved. It was said of one man in Scotland. He was a gospel preacher, and they said he was away alone in the country, and in the cold winter nights, and there he would get on his knees and pray to God out there in the open, and he would say, nothing less than Scotland for me. That was a desire for him. And Paul said, nothing less than the nation of Israel for me. So much so, that he said, I could wish myself a person in Christ for my brethren and kinsmen according to the flesh. Hard to see the men would say language like that. But anyway, we have that in Romans 9. He so longed and wished to see God's earth in me, that he said, I'm willing to be separated myself. If I could just reach the nation of Israel. Now about the man of desire, and there is a figure of the women of desire. John and I are down in, we were having a gospel meeting last fall in Florida. We stayed in a home where there was an age couple, and a very insignificant little home, about 2 or 3 miles out in the country. Well, it's a little more than a shack. But anyway, there was a woman of God, and there was a man of God, and each of them had a burning desire that others might be saved. And this year's old woman, she had been a practical nurse, and she took advantage of that in speaking to the sick ones wherever she worked, and she led a great number of Christ. Well, while we were there, she was telling us, she said, you know, one day she said, I got a phone call from my son. He was neighbor to a man, and the man lost his wife some years before, lost his son in the service, and his health broke, man went down, and then he wouldn't let anybody in to take care of him. He just forbade anyone coming in. And he had a gun on the little baby inside his bed and said it would stay out. Her son tried to get in and kind of like him above anybody else. Well, anyway, he said, Mother, you've got to do something. The man is dying and he needs some help. Will you try, Mother, and see what you can do? Well, this dear soul, she went to the door and knocked gently and no answer. Little louder than the engine. And she just turned the handle to the door and tiptoed in and finally around the bedroom, and there it was, and the man was gone. Snoozing away, and there was a gun on the table just within hand reach, and she tiptoed up and picked it up and backed up and got it out of the kitchen and hit it, and then this time, next time louder. And oh, he was an angry man. When the lady, she stepped out and she walked to the room and she said, now listen, you're a sick man and you're dying. Now I'm a nurse and I'm the mother of this boy that lives here with you. And I'm going to come in and cook you something and she said, wash his dirty face and hands and so on. I said, if you're a man, she said, mister, listen, if you die, you'll be in hell if you're not saved. And nobody cares, yes, somebody cares for you, I do. And more than that, my son, there are very one thing that about God in heaven, whose son loved you enough that he can come and die for you, that you might be in heaven with himself. Then she nursed him and ministered to him, finally taken to a nursing home. And then he died. There he died. One day the telephone rang, and she answered the phone, and that lady, and well, anyway, it was a lawyer, and he said, it's Mr. So-and-so. Well, anyway, then he said, I've got a legacy for you. So that lady, what, who else you went? Well, she nursed another job, I guess. Well, there's a message there. Somebody who needed a hey? No, did you ever know a man by his name? Yeah, yes. Well, he died. Oh, yes, I knew he died. Well, listen, when he died, he left you one third of his property. Oh. Then she said, I'll have something to spend for my Lord. This shack of a house she lived in, who would have called it here and that? Well, anyway, she didn't say, now I can get a new house. And she put $25 in my brother's hand, $25 in mine, and this honey, I would better if I could have taken out my own car and put it in her hand. Oh, I said, poor. Oh, that's the Lord's portion. That's the Lord's portion. I'm giving that to him. And so on. Well, as I told you, it's a house out in the country. And so we go way in the back of the lot and all poor. Oh, poor soul. And you give this money to preachers. And you can have a bathroom in the house, woman. Ah, this is all right between me and heaven. Pretty soon, the nurse is very happy, I would think. Her husband was, he was a little older. But anyway, she was passing through and satisfied with what she had. And so, this, she had the desire to reach souls, and God in his grace gave her soul. Now, let me say it again tonight. If that desire should be in the heart of the speaker, that should be one. And if that should be in your heart, you and I would see something in return for what we try to do for him. Oh yes, he should give us. He's still in the saving business. He's interested in men and girls. And I'll let you tell you something. He will not let any soul go down to hell without first of all giving him an opportunity of hearing the way of salvation back. Who is he going to say? One man said, here am I, send me. Oh, if you could say that, and I could say that, and we could say that, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm going to go with you. Go. We have a man before us now, and I'm going to talk our attention with this person who's dying his soul. Listen to what he said. We have been at chapter 1, I think I told you. And you're going to read about verse 20 of this chapter according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in that nothing I shall be ashamed. Nothing ashamed, look. That with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified by my body. Oh, what am I fighting for? What am I death? Could I magnify it? I could understand how I might magnify it in my life, but my life or my death, either way, doesn't make any difference to me. Just so that man is glorified, that man is magnified. And I tell you, we have seen those, yes, and not too many months ago. One dear saint of God leaving this earth and knowing that, she said, Lord, take my hand and take me home. Take my hand and take me. Talk about a shot in the arm. Talk about making you realize, man, you know nothing at all about God's salvation. There is one that does, and listen. That woman, before her doctors, and before the neighbors, and the descendants something, they came and they looked on and they went, how can she be so happy when she has, that isn't all, I also have a cousin. And the doctors, she had an operation, and anyway, they, before the operation, I'm afraid it's cancer. Yeah, they did cancer. And they told her. They told her. Well, she could have done it any different than me. It was cancer. Maybe it won't be long while I'll be in heaven. And she said it is false. And they said, imagine that. You hear what that woman said. It made no difference to her. And she wanted to describe him. Not a bit. Not one single bit. Realizing this would be the end. Well, here was a man. He said, now, I want Christ to be magnified in my body, whether in life or in death. Now, in life, maybe I can preach Christ. In life, maybe I can live Christ. But in death or in death, but as I'm dying. Remember, Philip, it's what said of Jacob, when his wife Jacob was dying, in worship, sitting on the top of his staff. Worship. I tell you, men and women, I wish I had that kind of, I wish I had that burning thing within me. I do. I'm a weakie when some way or other. I'm not. I just hate to speak to myself. It just seems like I'm nothing but weak. When that was his burning desire that Christ should be magnified by his body, then that was one of another. Now, in the same chapter, down at about verse 28, here he is again, here he is again. Oh, I think I should read verses 21 and 2, then even 23. For in me there is Christ. There is Christ. There is Christ. Die is gain. That's all right. And it certainly would be. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And what I shall choose, what I choose, I will not. And now, this is what I want to see. But I am a straight. I am a straight. And look the language here, having a desire, his other desire, this time, what is that? Not to magnify Christ in his body what I left, but listen, having a desire to depart, and that he would come to depart better, yes, I'm sure it is, I'm sure it would be, but I'm not just, I haven't that burning desire to depart, and to do Christ which is far better. Well, anyway, maybe when the time comes, it was said of a man by the name of Mr. Harris. He was a brother-in-law of C.W. Ross, and when he was in Kansas City and dying, and he had said to Mr. Ross, I just kind of afraid to go. Yes, he's like, just he's a little nervous man, and afraid to go. But at the end, he hurt just and realized, why goodbye, Charlie, goodbye, others. They'll soon be home, home. And he went home from Kansas City. Well, here it is again, a desire to his heart, and that he was Christ, which is far better than he had this, nevertheless. To abide in the flesh is more evil for you. And I would say, Paul, won't you stay a little longer? I think when Earl passed, it looked like he was dying just before he did die. And I knew before he was, this is a heart attack before he went to the hospital. But anyway, it just looked like this was the end, this was the end, and he was gasping for breath. And his son Earl was there, oh, he's been hanging on, Dad, hang on, Dad, don't leave us, Dad, hang on. Well, if I had been there when Paul was going, I'd have said, hang on, Paul, don't leave us. We need you, I tell you. And I want to say, it's a great loss when we lose some of the faith from our reading. We realize it in action. We lost two sisters lately. And both of them had a great heart in the things of God when they were well, well in body. But the time came when they were hardly able to get out and warn them. But you go there, thy seat will be empty and thou shalt be missed. We miss Mrs. Townsend, and we miss Mrs. White. And we lost a number of saints and adjutants, and during the years John has lived there. Well, again, look at another. I think this time I'm passing on to about chapter 3, and that is correct. And we will look at about verse 7 of this chapter. But what things were gaining to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Things gained, I come and walk for Christ. Ah, hear now what follows. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss Of all things, oh, it was a great loss. Oh, hear this again. Hear this again. He said, I do come in, but down, jump a new barn through. Found in Christ. The man in Christ. Oh, look at this once again. We have this that I may win Christ, first of all. How about a winning? We have somebody said, you can be already, yes, he already has. And if you're saying you already have it, but winning Christ, oh, winning him for myself, making him really my own, having happy fellowship with him, and living in his presence, and doing his service, and I want to win him. And I want him to win me. My little spoke mentioned tonight what Mr. Moody said. He wanted to win Christ, and he wanted Christ to win him. And he gave himself for him. Then again, the same as is in verse 9 of this chapter, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, even faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, first of all, we just pass on verse 9. Being found in him as what he wants. That was his desire. That was his desire. I want to be found in Christ. Oh, I want to be found in him. Enjoying his presence from day to day. There are times when we can get in. Not as nice to get in. Someone used to say this. When you go to pray, the other man would say, now if you get in, remember me. What do you mean? When we went to prayer, but if you got in, if you got in, we sometimes we pray, and we say, I didn't get in. I didn't get in his prayer. There are times when the heart goes out in thanksgiving and praise, and the presence of God seems so near to us, that in reality, we got in, so to speak. Got in, we got in. Well, I'm going over the page. And here is another one. And I think this time we call our attention to about verse 10. Here it is again. Paul desires to know him. Well, that I may know him. Now, this time what? And the power of his resurrection. Now, my brother spoke about the power, what was the greatness of his power over us. Now the Apostle Paul, he wanted to know something about that. Here it is again. And he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. His power in what? His power using me in the salvation of souls. His power in giving me some of those things that I need out of his word. His power is keeping me from day to day. In fact, the will of God says, we are kept by the power of God through faith out of salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. Ready, yes, thank God for that. In spaceship, yes, that's where we are today. You think of the little band of spaceship. How does it come? Years of time, years of God. Here we are tonight as we were 30, 35, 40 years ago. Why, watch it, why? We have been kept, saved, kept, kept by the power of God. And here he said again in this verse 10 of our chapter, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was his burning desire, the power of a resurrected Christ. Oh, how few of us get beyond the cross of Calvary for salvation. How do we know about the living Christ in glory for our preservation? My brother spoke tonight a little bit about we do not pray the Spirit of God. And when I was in Athens, I just grabbed up Mr. Ryerbaugh's book, and it's one of the old things that we read it from Romans 8, and we've read it and heard it many times. But I refreshed my mind. A little bit of an article, oh, just a short sketch. But he said this, when we never see in the Bible where we're ever asked to pray the Spirit of God. Then he said this, but we do read something like this, that he is yonder, well, Christ, he said, Christ is yonder in the glory, interceding for us, and the Spirit of God is down on earth, interceding for us down here. Isn't that really nice? That's really nice. One yonder in the glory for me, one down here for me. And that, you see, we have been given a something, a someone that keeps us and sustains us. And then the eyes of our understanding were enlightened. And he's a continual enlightener, a continual. And sometimes we come to the Word of God and we find it too hard. I remember Mr. McClure saying this maybe on this panel many, many long years ago. He said to the young man, I wonder now, does anybody understand that? Could anybody get anything out of that? As time has gone on, he said, the things that at that time seemed very difficult and hard to me, now they're kind of like John 3:16. Oh, so simple. Oh, so plain. Where did he get his knowledge? He got it, the eyes and the understanding, the enlightenment. And God can be continual, enlightener, enlightening his eyes. And listen, the Apostle Paul says this, the abundance of revelations are given unto me, and I can't think of a greater thrill. I can't think of anything greater than getting something for yourself out of the Word of God. I mean, really getting a food, getting a lift, getting something, and, you know, it rejoices the heart, so that you, man, this is good, Lord. Where have I been all my life? Men, why didn't I have that do? And if you do that, Lord, you can do some other things useful. And you continually lay hold upon God and get into His Word, and then you see some other things. I wonder how a man like C.H. McIntosh, I wonder what thrills of joy he must have had in that. Oh, he could unfold and unfold and unfold and unfold. It was endless. Some of us get a little bit like this, and we think, boy, we're in paradise. But it was the unfolding, and he could just pull it out. Well, Paul said the abundance of revelation is given unto me. Now look at this one again. We have to, I want to look at the end of that verse 10 again. Well, I must read the verse because it just kind of spoils the connection. But he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now he says, and being made conformable, his desire was conformable. Oh, conform my ways, my eyes on him. And if I have my eyes on him, I will guide thee with mine eye. I'll guide thee with mine eye. You know some of that, man? My father used to do that. My mother used to do that. When we were kids, if there was anything just a little shady going on in the house, we had nothing. One of the people in the house. That was enough. No words. Just guided by the eye. That means, you quit. You quit. I'll guide thee with mine eye. But I want to tell you something. You can't be guided by his eye unless you're in our place. I mean, unless you're in his presence. Then you can. Oh, we all have a little more about them. Now I'm passing on. And I want to go down to about verse 12 of our chapter. Not as so well, if by any means in verse 11 I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Now, he just felt it. He wanted us to live. Now, I haven't got it all yet. I haven't got it all. Not as though I had already attained. And then, all of us either were already perfect, not full grown yet, not full finished. Ready as if I think he would be one of the greatest men that ever lived. And he had to say this, I know nothing by myself. I don't know anything about myself, and then I don't know it all. I haven't yet been conformed to the image of Christ. God is just yet to what he is calling that. He said in verse 13 of this chapter, but I follow after, that I apprehend that for which also I am apprehender. I follow after them. Next verse tells us this. Verse 13, brethren, I account not myself to have apprehended, forgetting what? Those things that are behind past. Forgetting the past, put it in. And then he said, those things which are behind, and reaching forth those things that are before. Reaching out, reaching out, reaching out, laying hold on. Lay hold upon the hope that is set before thee. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold of that thing. And if I lay hold of that, it will lay hold on me. Oh, may God exercise the speaker. Exercise my hearers tonight. We won't be here very long at best, not to kill you. Stepping, going, punishing. Mr. Ross, she's ready, I hear him. Going home, going home, going home. Isn't that coming? Going home, going to heaven, going to glory, going to the place which is far better. And if you reach that goal, listen, he said, I will come again, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that's where I am, begging thee also. And listen, he shall never let us go until he has done for us that which he has spoken. That's what he said to Jacob. That's what he said to us. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. When may God tonight, by the power of his Spirit, just put the same burning desire, at least a little of it, that hope that dear Paul had, first for the unsaved, then he will say to God, this. In Romans chapter 1, he said this, I long to see you. I long to see you. What do you mean? Saints of Rome? You're Gentiles, saints of Rome. I long to see you that I am part of you. Some spiritual gift to the end may be established. I long to see you. I want to impart to you. I want to give you something. Oh, isn't it wonderful? When that man could go to Rome, I want to bring you something. I want to minister Christ in you. I want to help you in the ways of God. I want to strengthen you in the inner man. I want to build you up in the things of God. Well, the Lord help us. All is gone. Many of our great preachers have gone, but not anyone take it from you. We still have the Word, and we still have the Holy Spirit of God, and He is to us our comforter, and our teacher, and our guide. That's what He was sent for. So may tonight the Lord, by His Spirit, help us to realize our portion in Christ, Him up yonder the Savior, Spirit of God down here, the Word of God my guide, and the Lord's people my brethren, and in a little while, we're all going to be in the air, and so shall we be forever. Then so shall we rest. O Lord, our God, we cannot but one of the dearest and greatest servants of God that ever lived gave to us, that God gave to us through his servant God. And our Father, we can truly say to thee that these portions from the book of Matthew to the end of Revelation has rejoiced our hearts. And from the book of Genesis to the end of Malachi, we see the goodness of our God, first of all of his own earthly people, and then through them bringing us the Savior, and all the many, many things we have found in thy word. We thank you for the book of the Psalms. It seems to be the heart of the Bible, the breathing out of the heart of God. And then, our Father, we ask thee now, as we leave this place, may the blessing of the Lord rest upon us all. Take us all home in safety. Remember the absent ones tonight, and speak to them in their homes. Now receive our thanks again for thy gracious call, in the name of that worthy one. Amen.